Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, February 24th, 2019. The Reverend Wendy Camoy Stager is preaching. Her message this morning is rest. The Old Testament reading today is Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, and the New Testament lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, and chapter 12, verses 1 through 8.
Our New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, starting at chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, and continuing right into chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. This is Jesus speaking, and he says this, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." Jesus said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for him or his companions to eat, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple break the Sabbath, and yet are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Please join me in a word of prayer. Holy and creative God, draw us in. Draw us toward you with your gentle invitations. Reveal to us what you want us to hear, what you need us to hear. We pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to silence in us any voice but your own, that we might know your grace anew this day. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson comes from the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day. 6 days you shall labor, not five, but six, and then do no work. Okay, so I figured I would preach about that. Make sure you take a day off every 6 days. But then I recognize that here at Community Presbyterian Church, I'm preaching to a lot of folks who, you are not working Monday through Friday. I mean, some of you are, right? But a lot of you have the privilege of being retired. Congratulations. So does Sabbath mean anything to those who are on a retirement schedule? Well, yeah, I think it does too. Because there is more to Sabbath than when you work and when you rest. There's more to Sabbath that applies whether you are working 40 hours or part-time or whether you are retired and volunteering 40 hours or part-time. For Sabbath is about what we value. Do we value and celebrate times of rest? I would say sometimes, yes, we do, but overall, our United States culture doesn't. After all, who gets promoted faster? The person who stays late to finish a project and gets it in on the deadline? Or the person who leaves at 5 to get to a child's soccer game? Who do we think gets accepted to the prestigious colleges? The senior in high school who plays 3 sports, volunteers at the hospital, plays a musical instrument, and holds down a part-time job? Or the student who reads, plays video games, and hangs out with friends after school? And who do you want to have in your church or when you need volunteers to get jobs done? Do you want the retired person who is babysitting grandchildren, volunteering at the senior center, and quilting? Or do you want the retired person who takes a nap every afternoon at 2 p.m.? You know the answers to these questions because we're immersed in an American culture that says, do more, get ahead, be better, be faster. And these values of do more pervade and seep into every aspect of our lives. I'm especially concerned with the rise of the energy drink. These were not around when I was growing up. Whether the Red Bull, Monster, and I've never had one. Yeah, I know that a lot of you love your coffee and your Starbucks, and the British love their tea, but now you can have a special drink, and it is loaded with caffeine. And why do we have these caffeine drinks? So that when your body is tired, you can drink up and then take all that caffeine and that energy and push through. You can push through the tiredness to keep going, to stay awake and alert longer. It's the exact opposite of noticing that one's body is tired and accepting that. And the thing about getting tired is that eventually we all get there. And I'm noticing that as bodies age, we also get more tired. After all, don't you want to bottle the energy of the five-year-old? And you all have told me your stories of struggling with tiredness and with pain. That sometimes the very effort of getting up in the morning and getting dressed is much harder than it used to be. And that really no amount of caffeine or even pain meds will return you to a younger, more abled body. And I've heard you, and I hear you. And sometimes I even hear the sadness that you bring, noticing that you can no longer do what you were once able to do. And some of you, not all of you, but some of you I've heard be down on yourselves and self-critical because of it. Oh, I wish I could do more for the church. I wish I could do more to help. I would assert that in part it is that sneaky culture whispering, that culture that says, do more, get ahead, that you aren't doing enough. And a fearful voice that says, if you don't do enough, we're going to pass you by in favor of those who do more. But in our series of Drawn In and Creativity, it's made me wonder more about art and creativity. And does really a piece of art do anything? Does the color yellow do anything? Is the purpose of a work of art to be pragmatic and accomplishing it? Many times, art is there simply to be beautiful, perhaps to be inspirational, expressing the essence of life itself. That stunning song that you hear, is it doing anything? And even the beautiful hillsides of California poppies, or those lilies of the field that Jesus refers to, are they doing anything? No. There are moments of being and acts of creation. And the good news is that we have a God who values us as human beings, not human doings. God has created each of us and celebrates each of us as a precious work of art and creativity. We say that God is the creator. That makes us the art, the created, and the creations. And even God, after God created on that seventh day, what did God do? God rested. And God looked over all that God had created and took a moment to savor it. The way you savor a really good chocolate, right? That God took it all in for a moment, admired, enjoyed, and God took a break from doing. Some of the wisest people I have known embody this celebrating of being. And some of those are wise elders. And I wonder if you have met these folks as well. These are different from the folks who are aging and who are struggling and bitter. These are these older adults, and I mean older, older adults, like the 95, 98-year-olds, who have lost some of their ableness, but have gained something else. Writer and psychologist Bill Plotkin describes this life stage as the sage in the mountain cave. That this is the stage of late elderhood. It's post the active retirees of early elderhood. But he describes these as the years when the body is failing and even the mind starts to wander. But then with these wise sages in the mountain cave, he says that there is a surrender and a grace that comes. And he reminds us that old, old age is not only about loss, that there are spiritual gains, especially in the embrace of mystery and the recognition of being as a gift to all the world. I was honored to officiate a memorial on Monday for a 98-year-old named Kay Parmalee. And as her granddaughter was running around before the service, making sure everybody had a bulletin, making sure that the song on her iPod was going to play through the sound system, and she had worked herself up, then she caught herself and said, it's going to be fine. And I asked her, well, what would Grandma Kay, what would she say? And she stopped and she went, she would tell me, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. And Kay's son said that his mother gained a better sense of humor in her late elderhood because he was saying, you know that this care home you're in, this costs a lot. She goes, huh, that's for you to worry about. And I think of Charlotte, who was the leader of the prayer circle at a previous church. At 90 years of age, her connection to God was so deep. And she could see that God was way more mysterious. She taught me more about prayer because she prayed all the time. But she could also put her prayers into words. And she taught me this prayer. God, we ask humbly for the best outcome for all. She had a sense that all of life was going to be and already was interconnected. She saw things in wholeness. Another wise sage in the mountain cave I have had the privilege to know is Betty T. By the time I met her, she was shut in. She was no longer making it to circle. And then I remember that there was a 40-year-old woman who started as a deacon to go visiting Betty T. But she would always come back saying, I am so blessed when I am with her. Because Betty's presence and the day in, day out allayed this 40-year-old's worries and anxieties. She was a working single mom, but sitting with Betty T for an hour always put her life into perspective. After all, Betty knew what was important, and that was love. And that was God, for God is love. And it just oozed out of her pores. Betty, Charlotte, Kay Parmalee, they know something in themselves and in their bodies. They know that they have lived and done enough and cannot and could not, due to where their bodies are now, do any more, and they have accepted that, or dare I say, even surrendered to it. That they've recognized that this season of their lives is a time to rest and a time to savor. It is in their season of rest and joy to look at life's complexities and then to live with daily gratitude as a human being, not a human doing. I would dare say they are works of art. But even if we are not 98, no matter what our age, God offers us that gift of Sabbath. Do we accept it? Do we accept the gift of time to do nothing? For God calls us to do that at least once every 7 days. No matter if you're working or retired or even running around in academia or in high school. That in the rhythm of life, God asks us to make the time to savor and celebrate and to be grateful for creation. A time to be reminded by God that we ourselves are works of art and that God takes delight in us. For indeed, we are loved by our Creator God, not for what we do or don't do, not for what we accomplish nor fail to accomplish. We are loved because we are God's created children. And therefore, Sabbath is for each and every one of us a day to rest in that assurance that in God's eyes, indeed, we are enough and we are loved. Amen? Amen. I invite you, if you're comfortable to do so, that we'll sit in this rest for a little while. If you're willing to, close your eyes for a moment so you can do some visualizing. Breathe in. Let it out slowly. Try to imagine that your stresses, your anxieties, your deadlines are rolling off your head, down your shoulders, down your arms, and falling away to the floor. We've been using our visualizations in this series to imagine and dream of a world closer to what God would have us do. So this week, I invite you to imagine your own life and what it would look like if you could create more Sabbath time in it. What are the triggers that produce a feeling of overwhelm and stress in you? Imagine yourself in that situation. And then transport yourself in your mind's eye to a tranquil place. It might be somewhere far away, or simply a favorite chair with a cup of tea, or a favorite place to walk outdoors. Take a moment to remember that place and that feeling, so that you can make the space to receive the gift of Sabbath when you need it. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.